The William Hill Sports Show is owned and produced by William Hill. All opinions expressed by the host or guests are their own and are not endorsed by either radio station KUUB management or any of its advertisers. This is KUUB-FM Sun Valley, Reno.
It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calneva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Laugh it up.
All right, sports fans, welcome to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel. What's going on, Josh?
Too much, Ken. How are you?
I'm very aggravated right now. My iPad just randomly reset for some reason, and so, you know, all my material and stuff is on my iPad, and I've been messing with it here for about 20 minutes, and I had a little meltdown with the 10-second countdown going into the show. I started cursing, and John the Hawk across from me is just laughing at me.
Yeah, it looks like you're still locked out of there.
Oh, thanks, Josh. Yeah. Appreciate it, buddy. I'm going to start cussing right now, too.
Yeah,
anyways, John the Hawk Stevens across from me. What's going on, John?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
John, you've been going. You know, I went to the rodeo, rodeo sport. You know,
yeah.
I went to the rodeo on Tuesday. First time. I didn't go last year. And I tell you guys what, I had a great time.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I watched the whole rodeo. You know, a lot of times, you know, it wants to be a social event, you know, and I get out there, have a couple of beers. But I tell you what, I teared up with the flag and the way they really did.
Every night.
This is real America. And you know,
true.
And what they were talking about and,
yeah.
you know, the idea and images, the imagery that they were presenting to the crowd. And
it's not hate speech.
No, it was. I'm not crying. I am not joking. I teared up during that.
Yeah.
And I kind of was like, you know, it kind of made me really proud. Really, really proud for what was going on.
No, it's awesome. Yeah. It's an amazing event. It really is. And when they get that new arena in there, do you see the plans for the new arena coming up in, I think, 2021, something like that, a new 15,000 seat arena. It's just going to be unbelievable. It's, you know, already such a huge rodeo. That's just
it's fantastic.
Take it to the top.
And the performances were out of sight.
Yeah.
I mean, out of sight. You know, the bareback guy came in. I think right out of the chute, he had an 83, and I think it stood for the whole time. You know, it just, you know, you saw some ropes break in the steer wrestling.
Our guys won the steer decorating that night from Biggest Little City Apparel, Josh and Hunter, and then got disqualified.
Because the ribbon fell off.
Yes, so we're all celebrating.
Yes, I saw that.
The ribbon, the tie fell off.
Yeah.
But it was a fun event. Yeah, we've gone every other night of the whole thing, so we'll be back tomorrow.
And your tickets, you didn't have a ticket tonight, but I saw you diligently, you know, attempting to find tickets for tonight. Hey, if anybody do you want to go tonight?
No, I don't.
Okay, you can't handle it.
No, it's an every other night.
Josh, you can't handle
event.
It. Yeah.
I'm hitting it like I did 20 years ago.
That's fantastic.
It's been a hell of a week.
So with that being said, you know, I just want to let the audience know, you know, there's a performance tonight and a performance tomorrow, and if you can, you know, find time to get out there. I mean, it's so well worth it. You know, I was so excited, and it is special, John. I had such a great time. I mean, just good old fashioned country fun, and you know, and I didn't see the very last act, the bullfighting, which that's the first time I had seen that.
Bullfighting's cool.
And Josh, I don't know if you know what that is. I actually thought it was going to be like the suicide poker table where, you know, the Cowboys. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But they have these bullfighters, what they call bullfighters, basically the rodeo clowns, the saviors, so to speak. And they get 1 minute in this enclosed ring with a bull. And they actually enclose the ring with some fencing, so it's about probably, honestly, 10% of the rodeo right in front of the chutes, and they let the bull loose, and they grade the rodeo, the bullfighter, on how close he can get, jumping over the bulls, touching the bulls, and these aren't just the bulls. These were the Mexican bulls, weren't they, John? They were the actual.
I didn't get their names or anything, but.
No, I mean the breed of the bulls. It wasn't like the livestock bulls, you know, for the bull riding. This was the other bulls that they had brought in for this, and
they're toros, in other words.
Yeah, I tell you, I was just like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah,
you know, and so these guys are out there jumping on top of these bulls, and the funniest thing was though is the rodeo clown put a sombrero on top of a remote control car, and he kept running around the arena.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Man, what a great time, Josh. What a great time. Anyways, go ahead,
Josh. Maybe you got to go tomorrow.
No, Ken, that sounds entertaining. I actually haven't been to the rodeo in a couple years, but that event alone, you said, sounds worthwhile. I do enjoy the bull riding, some other events.
Sure,
but
sure.
You remember a couple years ago, you would know this because I think you were there too. The time I went, there was the opening ceremony, whatever. There was a last second. I want to say the band Perry was who it was supposed to be, but they canceled, but they brought in Clay Walker instead.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it was like the last second when they announced he was going to be there. I'm like, count me in.
Yeah, tell you what.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, we went down to CVI and saw Clay Walker at CVI, and he blew our doors off. I mean, I remember JD goes, there's not a bad seat in the house. And I ended up getting front row seats, and they go, why'd you get those? There's not a front row seat in the house. And, you know, they were being cool guys sitting in the back, you know, doing their thing. And then he came on, and they were like, okay. So they brought it to the front row, and it was like, yeah, this
but
is awesome.
What happened? Everyone came up to take a selfie with him.
And that's true. That did ruin it.
Yeah.
That did ruin it. And my girlfriend, she's such a huge Clay Walker fan, Josh, and we go to CVI and we're just pounding them back, and it's getting real, real late. And we had a room there, and, you know, we're sitting at the bar, right, getting ready to go up to our room, and all of a sudden Clay Walker walks in, and she goes, oh, my God. So she got a picture with him. Greatest picture ever. Never seen – she's toasted.
You never made her smile like that?
Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
Clay's a man. I've seen Clay 8 times.
He's never a bad show, is he?
Yeah, no. God, no, he's the best. Yeah. I saw him actually open up for George Strait. Talk about a show there.
Yeah. You know, I like to see Neil McCoy, too. He's always a fun
guy.
Great show. But I guess I just want to give the Reno Rodeo props and just, you know, two more performances left if you guys, you know, can find time to get out there. And maybe sometime in the future, it's a judged event, but the Gaming Control Board is starting to loosen reins up a little bit on judged events.
Mm-hmm.
The Olympics and
the Heisman.
There you go. That's a good example, Josh. And so maybe in the future they'll loosen it up a little bit, and maybe
there's also a lot of integrity in this event.
It's like golf, you know. It's a gentleman's sport.
Yeah.
Yes, you know. Go ahead, Josh. I'll let you expand on that.
All I was wanting to say.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully it'd be kind of neat to that maybe in the future we were able to figure out, you know, who's going to win the night events or the overall events or whatever, Josh.
Yeah, I think the gambling on it would be huge. Well, it was for everything else, but you're right, Ken. I think it's a good idea to revisit the criteria as they have, because some of it, you know, makes sense, right? Oh, we're not going to, you know, allow betting on something with subjective results because it could be corrupted. The Olympics on a global scale, there's some of the stuff I understand. But when it comes right down to it, like the example I just gave, they should judge it on a case-by-case basis. With the Heisman Trophy, how on earth would you're going to pay off the Heisman voters to vote for one guy?
Yeah.
And even if so, that's like a low-level prop. They finally came to their senses. Yeah, this is nearly impossible to fix, and why and how would you? And it's obvious the Heisman every year comes down to like the last few weeks, whoever gets hot, you know, that person's likely going to win it. So now, yeah, they book it like any other future. To me, I enjoy, as much as I love college football, looking at all the candidates, seeing who might be, you know, decent value or whatever. And I'm glad they're starting to relax those standards.
Absolutely. You know, just opening up sports, you know, it's fantastic. But great fun. Come down, you know, go down and support the Reno Rodeo. And like I said, just a great, great time. So, John, anything special happen out there? I mean, you've been every night. I mean, pretty much it's just been a good performance all the way around?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of special things happen. Not anything we can get into on the air. But
oh, well, I didn't mean it like that.
I'm just kidding. But, yeah, no, it's just the whole experience, just being amongst – you know, our people, I don't know how that comes off, but just being able to, you know, sit and listen to country music and
Americans.
Drink whiskey and yeah, but, you know, we lean to the countryside. We always have.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
We're dapper dudes, but we're also got that redneck side. So it's always good to,
there's a song called Redneck Side, just so you know, Josh. Right. Yeah. It's good. It's a great song. So with that being said, what else is going on in sports real quick? I guess the news, the big news out of Nevada. You know, two things coming up with the basketball program. If you haven't heard yet, it's official now that Josh Hall was the player from last year's team that's going to transfer. It's going to get us down to the 13 scholarships required by the NCAA. You know, I don't think as of coming on the air, there had been no indication of where or in what school or anything like that. Sophomore this year, you know, back in 2016 when he came into Nevada, he was the top 150 national recruit. You know, one of the anytime you're in the top 200 sought after college or high school basketball players in the entire nation. I mean, that's a big get, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Ken's huge at the time. And I remember there's a little hype surrounding his signing where it's like, yeah, that's a bit of a breakthrough when you look at the ceiling of you know, the four-star, the type of recruit you're starting to get grabs everyone's attention when someone's that high on the list. John and I were sort of talking about it before the show. To me, it's too bad, you know, because I've always rooted for Josh Hall, and I thought, you know, he got a bad rap unfairly in some ways where they sort of knocked his progress or whatever a couple times, you know, from last year and then especially this year when he had a somewhat limited role. But I just think the one thing you can't take away from him, and to me, you know, I've always said it's funny how people, you know, react when everything's on the line. His NCAA tournament run, Nevada doesn't get there without him. He was unreal. And I read the article that, you know, kind of accompanied the news with his transfer today. You realize kind of those NCAA tournament games, they got, he shot like 65% from the field, was averaging 15 a game. We all know the game winner against Cincinnati is one thing. I mean, that's huge. But he was huge against Tech. He pretty much was responsible for sending that game to overtime. A couple of huge buckets in the last minute over the guy who's just, you know, drafted, you know, fifth in the NBA or sixth, you know, Mohamed Bamba. You took it right at him two different times underneath the hoop and scored. And to me, it's like, wow. You wonder, you know, where this has been or whatnot, but sometimes it's about opportunity. We know Nevada had a short bench or whatever, and you know, they're only basically playing six guys, so he was going to get his turn. But when he, you know, he shined when it mattered most, and with this influx of, you know, roster turnover and everyone they're bringing in, maybe, you know, he's going to be phased out a little bit. But I just think it's too bad because ultimately, you know, despite some of the skeptics or whatnot, I think when it mattered most, he showed why he was such a high recruit.
He did. He was always in the big moments. He always seemed to rise to the occasion. You know, it can't be said enough. He hit the biggest shot in the history of the program, pretty much, with that shot against Cincinnati. And he still was maligned for taking it at the time that he took it.
Oh, it left too much time. Yeah. All that. You know, I think the beautiful thing about that shot, not just that it went in, was the basketball IQ behind it. Like I said, as soon as he grabbed it, he understood what was going on. Everyone in Cincinnati thought for sure he'd dish it out. Yeah. So they just literally dove to the perimeter.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it literally, the waters parted, and he saw what was going on. So, you know, no, this is the best opportunity. Steps in for a floater, and like I saw in his interview, he's like, yeah, my idea was just, hey, get it up soft on the rim, give the thing a chance.
If it doesn't,
maybe it gets tipped in. And sure enough, little, you know, butterfly up there rolled around and went in.
No, absolutely. I'll never forget. It'll be embedded in my memory for the rest of my life. The announcer talking. Well, Nevada can hold for the last shot. What's out? It's good. It's like, you know, the indecisiveness. Even the announcer was thinking, you know, Nevada's going to hold for the last shot. He made it with 9 seconds left.
Right.
I think that's what it was.
What's the key to poker, Ken?
Dude,
put the pressure on them.
Put the pressure on them, you know. And what happened, John? They didn't even get off a final
shot.
They
didn't get off a shot.
Because they were so excited. And one thing that people failed to realize is that he almost stole the inbounds pass off of that shot. I mean, if you watch the end of that play, you know, everybody's celebrating, and he almost stole the inbounds pass, but at least disrupted it a little bit. And, you know, he put the pressure, like you said, John, you know, put the pressure on the opponent. And, you know, the guy's flying down the court. He's probably supposed to get fouled, but he ends up not even getting a shot up where he could get fouled, dribbles the ball off his leg, and next thing you know it, two bounces, it's out of bounds. Yep. And go
back. That's where it shows you the high percentage play was for the people who were critical of, oh, not taking the last shot. Well, that's what would happen if you called a timeout or do whatever. You're in that position, make or miss, whatever. Would you rather have that or the lead? And now, yeah, exactly. You have to defend for 9 seconds. Cincinnati ran what they thought was a good play with that kind of, you know, flying screen near midcourt that was going to free the point guard up. And it kind of did, but there was help. And then, like you mentioned, Kenny, he went to the baseline. There was nothing there. Suddenly the ball squirts out, time expires, and you know, you can never – I think you're down. Who's going to disagree with that? You're down 1 point inside of 10 seconds, and you've got, you know, an open shot in the lane. You can't question the shot selection.
No, absolutely. At that point, you still have time to foul and play. You know, if they go down and hit two, you know, we're still in good shape right there. So, with that being said, I have a question. The game was tied when he hit that, right?
No, Nevada.
No, we were down.
Nevada was down one.
Down one. That's right. So the layup would have. You know, I remember. That's right. I thought we were tied. I actually put my season tickets in for the basketball team. I'll tell you about those too, John. It's crazy. You know, I put, you know,
things are looking up.
Well, we have a skybox. We have a skybox, and it's based upon a
brag.
No, it's based upon a point system, and because we've had the skybox here for so long, we were in the first tier to get offers from the seats that nobody requested. There's nothing there. I talked to our rep today. He says we're up in the. I was expecting to pay, you know, $1,500 a ticket for four tickets, but there's nothing there. I mean, we're up into the lower bowl right now, and it's just amazing, you know. And you know, talking to our representative, he just said that, you know, they're seriously expecting a possible sellout for every home game next year.
Ken, shows you the quick about face what's happened under the must-win regime, because of course I'm sure. You remember what's happened in the last few years of the David Carter regime. But I remember, you know, I go enough to where, you know, I get the mailers where they're trying to talk you into season tickets, right? Because, of course, they have my email account and all that, and I'm buying tickets online all the time. But they would send it out, and I guess what I'm getting is the last year or two under Coach Carter, they couldn't give away, you know, lower bowl season tickets. Yeah. They're like, get them today. I was like, what, you know, something ridiculous, like $199 for the season in the, you know, in the second deck. I'm like, are you kidding? I remember some of those offers, and that's how bad it was.
Not only that, Josh, I mean, to piggyback on that, we, when the CBI, when we were here, we would wait until game day and get first row,
that's right.
second row.
That's right.
I mean, I remember
we went first, second, third, and then by the championship, we were up way up top.
Then where's all these guys at?
Bandwagon town.
Yeah, I mean, we were front row underneath the basket when Cam did the reverse jam where he just flushed on somebody. I mean, we were in the first row right there on the baseline, and it was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, Cam just – he just laid it down on somebody right there.
Yeah, they were losing to Montana pretty good in the second half of that first game. And from that point on, this program is
– it's just like it took an about face.
It's unbelievable.
It's absolutely unbelievable. So,
Tyron Criswell, you remember he was –
Chris and – oh, man, I mean, just all those guys, you know. And then,
DJ, Marquise.
And I mean, now we got to – now we got, you know, JaVale McGee with two rings.
Unbelievable.
That's – Sessions. Hey, and we can't – I can't say enough about Ramon Sessions either. Yeah. I mean, he's a big part of this, even though he's kind of
–
oh, man, he really is a special dude. Coming in, giving the practice facility, you know, the ability to even entertain
trips. Camps.
Yeah, running the camps here. Yes,
he's a quality dude. I've always heard that about him.
You know,
all those guys,
coming
Gary back, Hill Thomas, Petey, all those guys were great guys.
Yep, Chad Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
And can you mention JaVale McGee? I think it's worth noting because I don't know if we've given him enough props on the show, especially with the local angle in regard to what he did with the Warriors. It'd be one thing. He's got the two rings now, and you could say, well, it'd be one thing if he just, you know, sort of wore the warm-up and just got a ring because he sat on the bench. But
he started.
He's been pivotal, right. And I want to say, too, this series win against the Cavaliers, especially in Game 3, like I said, it could have been a tie-turning if the Cavaliers had found a way to win. They're at least momentarily back in the series. But that was the game where no one really played well but Durant, right, of the Stars. Curry was 1-for-15 or whatever it was. Didn't score. And Klay Thompson, Draymond Green all had horrible games. He was the one guy, along with Jordan Bell, the rookie from Oregon, who both guys stepped up. They're the only guys, I think, at double figures, along with Kevin Durant, who I believe had 43. But, yeah, you remember that game. I think McGee was like 6-for-6. So it's no joke. Not only do you get the ring, but he was a real contributor. And you know what I realized watching it, Ken? Not that the Warriors needed it, but the Cavaliers had no one who could guard him.
No.
That's why he was so high. Like, they ran some of those pick and rolls where, okay, they jumped out to the perimeter. They tossed it down to him with some of those pick and rolls where he's just sort of then – and, you know, turns and he's deep in the post. You can lob it up or give, you know, toss it in and see if he can finish. And I realized, yeah, you know what? When the Stars aren't on for the Warriors, when they're not hitting those threes, that was a legit option. Nobody on Cleveland could even to handle him in the post, and he put away every opportunity he got. And his ability to finish in traffic is underrated. JaVale McGee.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he can board, and he's a defensive presence.
Ridiculous, but it's not like he just dunks or whatever. There are times where he hits some pretty high degree of difficulty shots in traffic. He's got some gifts around the basket.
So goofy.
We have to head off our first commercial break, but we're kind of transitioning a little bit into NBA, which I have some questions, and we have the draft and stuff I want to talk about, and some future odds, and I have a big overlay for you guys, so you guys are going to want to hear this. So we're back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
I'm back. This is the William Hill Sports Show here with John the Hawk Stevens and Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Make sure you follow Josh on Sportsline. That's where you do on Twitter and on Sportsline where you do all your articles. Josh, I know you got a lot of soccer stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later, but and Twitter Josh Nagel 1. But all your stuff's on Sportsline, right?
Correct. Yeah, I appreciate the plug. And as you mentioned, yeah, right now obviously World Cup in full swing. There's a ton of matches every day. We're doing, you know, balanced whatever betting previews on all of them, the three-way betting and everything that William Hill offers, which includes all the other options like in-game halftime betting. William Hill does that on the soccer as well. Of course, internationally, it's extremely popular, but we also still have, you know, our eye on daily baseball, football, and everything else.
All right, good deal. We kind of transitioned from Wolfpack basketball. You know, we led the first segment of the show announcing that Josh Hall, if you don't know, has decided to transfer out of the from the University of Nevada. No schools have been, you know, mentioned yet on where he might land, but, you know, we appreciate Josh. I don't know if you're listening or not. I know you're still enrolled at the university for another 5 weeks, and you know, we wish you all the best, bud. And, you know, I wish you'd stick around and, you know, and be part of this next big ride that, you know, the Wolfpack basketball program's, you know, going to be on. And, you know, but we do appreciate everything you did. I mean, class guy. You know, John, and I wanted to add, and Josh, I forgot, you know, the one thing that I remember about Josh Hall is I remember the big spill he took, you know, where he landed on his head and up on his shoulder, where he kind of got, you know, he went up for a dunk or a layup and things didn't go well, and he came down really, really hard and he missed some time. And I don't think – I think that maybe at the end of last year, maybe he was starting to come back from that a little bit. And I think he's got two good years ahead of him someplace else. He's really going to contribute for somebody, you know, because like we said, you know, he was a top 150 recruit, you know, coming into the University of Nevada, and he just – It was such a vicious. We were at the game. But I just remember how vicious the injury was, you know. And he just, it's tough sometimes, you know. It takes a lot out of you when you land on your head, so to speak. But you know, hey Josh, if you're listening or somebody knows Josh, appreciate what you did. You know, at this point, I guess you've made the biggest shot in Nevada history.
That's right.
You know, and you know, it's sincerely appreciated. And you're always going to be a Pack at heart, bud. So
yeah, I agree. It's too bad to see, you know, that sort of historic impact that he had, and you know, it's not like the guy was a senior or whatever. It just feels a little sad to have that significant of a role in such a remarkable season, and then you know, he's going to finish his career somewhere else. I mean, things change, but the biggest curiosity I have, though, is to be where he lands and then to follow him, because let's face it, there's so many, you know, what they call, you know, the transfer market now, but teams out there, you know, power teams like your Illinois, your teams that are struggling and need good players. And I'm just curious to
like
see
where
he – right.
That was
suddenly,
a good move for Cole
right,
Huff.
He left, and suddenly one day I look up and like, wait, is that him on Creighton draining all these threes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good move. So that's why I figure Josh Hall will be in the same vein. Like, he'll go to whatever school it is that's going to obviously, you know, be in need of some real talented players, sit out his transfer year or whatever. And I'm curious to see, you know – wherever he lands, joins the starting lineup, I'm willing to bet, you know, for his remaining years of eligibility, he's a huge contributor to whatever program.
There should be some sort of, you know, we don't know the details of losing the scholarship or anything, but if you get your scholarship pulled, you should be able to play that next year.
I agree. Well, I think there should be.
I don't know that that's what happened, but.
Yeah, and did you hear the NCAA recently, too, just within the last week or so, started restricting teams from blocking where you could go or whatnot, which I think is great. I always thought, you know, it was okay if, for instance, in conference or natural rivals order, I understood some of that. But when you hear these stories of, you know, Nick Saban or other high-profile coaches where it just seems out of spite, where, like, a recruit just didn't work out, and now they, you know, they had the power of, you know, veto on where the student-athlete wants to go, I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure Ken's aware. There's a guy like Baker Mayfield who totally changed the rules on that, too, because he was a walk-on, right? He was a walk-on at Texas Tech. He goes to Oklahoma and they try to block his transfer. Like, it's literally called the Baker Mayfield rule. It's like, no, you can't block a guy who wasn't on scholarship to begin with. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
He gets to go where he wants. He was already paying his own way. And so they're finally starting to, you know, implement some of that legislation that's more in favor of the student athletes. And I agree, especially now where it's becoming a thing almost like, you know, pro style operation of the program where any year, your scholarship may or may not be renewed. If we got someone we like more at your position, you're just gone.
Yeah.
In which case, I think, that athlete should have an immediate, you know, eligibility somewhere else.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, it makes total sense. You know, it's not, it's of no fault, but, you know, of the kids, you know. So with that being said, you know, wish you the best of luck. But, and where did Amin go? I don't know how to say
it. I haven't seen that either.
Because he was the other transfer that came out. We were at the 15 limit that actually transferred out.
Yeah.
You know, wish him all the best, too.
And I think we know where Charlie Tooley went, though.
He did go to a D2.
D2, yeah.
He
somewhere
went to a D2, yes.
In California, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure exactly where.
And since we're kind of on this note, let's think about Leland Keene and Ramsey that transferred.
Yeah.
Leland Keene, and did he end up being Offensive Player of the Year last year?
Or something like
at Santa Clara? Or not Santa Clara. Where did he go? Santa Barbara?
Well, I'll have to look that up because that sounds fishy.
No, you look it up. You look it up, sucker. All right, with that being said, you know, we kind of talked a little bit. Let's talk a little about the NBA draft and everything that went on last night and the future odds. You know, the Warriors were even money going into the draft, and the updated odds have came out. And, you know, they're about 110 right now, and not a lot of movement right there, you know. But there is one line, you know, that has moved that kind of surprised me a little bit. It looks like the Rockets are at 4-1. Celtics are at 450, 9-2, 76ers, John, at 5-1. How do they do in the draft? I don't think there's any value in taking the Sixers at 5-1. I just don't see it.
Not at this point. You know, we'll have to see how the dominoes, how they fall free agency-wise. You know, I think Paul George is the best fit for that roster. I mean, obviously LeBron James you can put anywhere. But it's draft-wise, they did well. It was interesting to not – proceed with Mikal Bridges. You know, he's such a Philly guy, and that was the only rumor there ever was. But upgrading athleticism with Zaire Smith, he's the consensus most athletic player in the draft, and getting an unprotected pick from a Heat team that is more than likely going to be a lottery pick in 2021, it made sense to do. But until You can't make a bet on any of these teams until we see what happens in free agency.
I agree with that.
Besides the Warriors, they're but
no, and I agree with all that. All our phones are going off. Is everything all right? Joe Jackson hospitalized. Oh wow, with terminal cancer.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, you
know, Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
The singer.
No, the Michael dad.
Oh. So, with that being said, you know, it goes on down. You know, we said Sixers. I didn't see any value there at 5-1. The Lakers have went from 15-1 to 6-1, which kind of indicates, I think a lot of people think that LeBron might be going there. But I have read stuff today that he has to declare by the 29th.
Right.
So, so what is today? The 22nd? So, he has a week to declare. I read today that Cleveland is the front runner now after this short round of contract negotiations and where teams stand. If that's the case, here's my theory on this. If he stays in Cleveland, Cleveland's going to agree to go out and get him help. There's no doubt. He is not going to stay in Cleveland with the current roster that he has. They came out of the West East last year. If he stays in Cleveland, they're going to get help. You can still get Cleveland at 30-1 to win the NBA title, Josh. That is a monster overlay. Monster overlay.
Yeah, that's huge, Ken. And it's funny you mentioned the other teams, which are clearly the odds makers are squatting on LeBron because they don't want to get caught off guard, right? That's why you get the 76ers 5-1, the Lakers 5-1, who seem to still be like the heavy favorite. Odds makers just don't want to get caught with that. Oh, Lakers 40-1, and there it is overnight. People, you know, hammering that.
Yeah.
But I've said from the start, I thought Cleveland was underrated in this whole thing. Everyone seemed to think it was such a given that he's just bailing. One, I still think there's a big part of LeBron has some regrets about the way he left the first time. He knows how beloved he is. He came back, won the championship like he promised. And I don't think, you know, I still think to some degree he's kind of a sensitive guy. Like, he worries about his legacy and things of that nature. I'm not sure he would want to leave. He's got young kids in the school system he wants to see grow up in their hometown. So I never thought it was just, you know, such a clear thing that he was leaving. But then, Ken, one thing that people underrate, even though he's got $1 zillion because of the endorsements and everything, the money always matters. And when they can offer you that supermax,
yep,
you know he's got to look at guys who are getting like Steph Curry and be a little envious. We're like, man, when that kicks in, yeah, I mean, just like anything else, Ken, would you want to double your salary? I mean, to me, if you're making $50,000 a year, would you like 100? When he goes from, you know, whatever, making 25, 28 to $40 million a year, that matters. You can't pretend. Same thing why I think the Spurs still have a chance with Kawhi Leonard, because is like, well, they're the team that can offer him that supermax. Is he really just going to, you know, jolt out of town and turn his nose at that much extra money? And the thing with LeBron, like you mentioned, Ken, I've just heard it's the other way around. We're like, yeah, he may stay, but he wants to help in place. But there was rumors about Kemba Walker they're trying to get. I heard they tried pretty hard to pitch a deal for Kawhi, but that was Kevin Love in their 8th pick. It wasn't enough. But I've heard or Paul George, who they nearly had last year, but he just got dealt elsewhere. So you would think if they land, like, say, one of those guys or combination, for instance, if they somehow worked, you know, Kemba Walker and got Paul George, for sure LeBron's staying. And like I said, from the start, thought it odd where it was just considered, you know, a done deal that he was gone from Cleveland.
Let me ask you this real quick, Josh, before you jump in, John. Did I hear you right that says that Cleveland can offer the max deal?
Oh, yeah,
that's Supermax.
What, right.
Cleveland can offer that.
Sure. Exactly.
Okay.
They have the bird rights.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's. I really have no idea what's going to happen. Houston makes a lot of sense for
tax reasons.
Not only tax reasons, but for basketball reasons with George and LeBron. And so does L.A., and so does Philly, and so does Cleveland. So it's. I really have no idea. I don't have a read on it. I don't think he's going to Philly just because it's. That's not how Philadelphia sports works.
Well, and the same thing with the Lakers is the reason I thought people were getting carried away, where it's been clear LeBron's preferences always were in terms of, oh, how's the makeup of the team? He wants accomplished guys, like not a bunch of young guys, but he wants guys with, you know, savvy, what they call, you know, basketball IQ or whatever, and who've been accomplished on the pro level. There's some speculation where, like, yeah, he's not ready to jump in there with Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, guys in the second, third year, mm-hmm, and carry a bunch of youngsters.
Yeah.
They figure if it was going to the Lakers, it would have to be like a whole overhaul thing. It'd be like a sign-and-trade where the Lakers send all those guys in a sign-and-trade, and then it's LeBron and, you say, Kawhi and whoever else, George, come in, because he doesn't want to just be like, you know, the old mentor, you know, working in some young players for the last 5 years of his career.
Yeah.
So I thought the Lakers thing was overstated from the start. And Ken, I like what you're saying there, because you're right. The instant, let's just say a week from now or whatever, 10 days from now, it all comes down, he re-signs with Cleveland. What is, you know, it's the Cavs that go back from 30-1 to 3-1.
Look at the line history.
You mentioned the Celtics in this whole thing either.
They're 9-2, I did, but we'll get
but
back.
I mean, free agency wise and trade wise.
Wow.
They tried to get Kawhi in February.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But you go back to LeBron real quick, John, and then we'll talk about Boston and Kawhi. 18-1 is what they were. Then all the speculation was is LeBron is leaving. They went from 18-1 to 40-1.
Yeah.
And that's a justified move. That is a justified move. But now they're down to 30. So they've moved from 18 to 40 back down to 30. I just want the listeners to understand what I'm trying to say is there's value in this 30-1 right now because I have this sneaking suspicion that he's staying in Cleveland.
Like you said,
I really do.
The fact that it was 40 is the key. That means other people with the school of thought that you're promoting here, other people have already done some prospecting. When it hit 40, they jumped in, you know, just in case. So people put real money on that 40-1, just with the implied value that you mentioned.
You know, John, 4.5-1 is what the Celtics are right now. And, you know, they're going to get Hayward back and Kyrie back, you know. So, you know, that team competed, you know, this year. But, you know, so I guess it's still how there's still the chemistry issue because you really don't know. You know, the team played well down the stretch. Defensively, they were unreal.
And that's, you know, that was the upside to those injuries is you got to see – what Terry Rozier really was.
Oh, man.
And Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum. And that wouldn't have been really possible with everybody healthy.
You know what's funny, John, that the irony would be with how coveted, you know, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward were. Remember, that was a huge deal. The Jazz were devastated when he left. Of course, they draft Donovan Mitchell. But the irony is the funniest way for them to make sense for LeBron is send those two guys back. You said sign and trade. You send Kyrie and Gordon Hayward to Cleveland and a pick. That's enough.
I mean,
he's going to leave anyway. The Cavs can start rebuilding, and they would actually have a decent – they would have a playoff contending team with those guys and a couple additions. So it's funny, like you said, the Celtics we haven't talked about, but that's how it worked. It's like, where did they fit in? Clearly, you know, they would live with Rozier at point and get rid of Kyrie to dismiss that problem.
It's amazing how fascinating the NBA is in regards to stuff like this, that it just the speculation. And it's the July 1st is when everything's gonna hit the fan. So I really have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm excited. I mean, as a Sixers fan, it's a big opportunity. And the moves that they made for the draft yesterday are leading to freeing up a little more money to because they have enough for almost 2 max contracts.
That's absolutely amazing with the talent they're putting on the floor and how much of their payroll they can still dole out. I mean, that's phenomenal.
The mystique of the Lakers.
But who do you want, John? Is it Leonard? I mean, of everybody? Obviously, probably LeBron.
James?
Well, I still think he's staying in Cleveland, but I mean.
Yeah, no, if the roster best fit is Paul George. Absolutely.
Are you certain he's leaving Oklahoma City?
No. But I'd say,
what if Leonard goes to Oklahoma City?
A pretty good chance he's leaving Oklahoma City.
What if they what if Oklahoma City dumps Carmelo and brings in Leonard?
Well, if they could do that, that would be a magical move. I don't see that in the cards. But
now, I'm kind of a Thunder fan, so
I think Houston's the play here.
Houston's the play for LeBron
in play. Just they're going to be heard from, and we don't even know if Chris Paul could be out there as well. So
you get the Rockets at 4-1 right now, and if they get LeBron, obviously that's going to go down. So not a lot of value there. But I'm still lurking at that 30-1, Josh. I can't. I kind of think $100 bill's got to go on 30-1.
I like it. And I agree because
I'll give you 35
for 100
to win it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about it.
I'm going
to. Couldn't do it last year with
if
him.
He stays, though, my point is he's going to get a supporting cast if he stays.
Right, but they're adding.
I know what you're saying.
Right, and they'll probably have to have those guys before he agrees.
That'll be the condition.
Warriors are about to take that clown, Dwight Howard.
Listen, listeners, listen. As soon as you wake up and you hear that Paul George just signed with Cleveland, get to the window because LeBron's staying.
Exactly.
Seriously.
That would probably be enough. Like I said, I've heard he's real big on Kemba Walker. The John makes me wonder, though.
That's
the drafting
fit.
Of Colin Sexton makes you wonder if they soured on that. But that was the big deal right there. They're just saying basically Kemba Walker and Paul George, and LeBron's happy.
That's a similar comp, I would think, for Colin Sexton.
Yeah. And besides, because Sexton, though, he's a rookie. He could learn, you know, sit for a few years.
Well.
All right, here we go.
I was surprised, by the way, with that. Because Sexton strikes me as he was sort of flavor of the month, right? He had a great postseason, led Alabama to the NCAA tournament. I'm surprised it took him that high, is my point. Because seeing as Bridges went 10th, I mean, I just mean if Cleveland wants that immediate impact rookie who might be this coming year's Jason Tatum or whoever, I mean, I just thought they passed him. They could have taken a guy for immediate impact over what I think is kind of a project point guard.
Gotcha. We have to head off for next commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show. Come to you live from Club Calnive on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calnive.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and John the Hawk Stevens. Talked a lot about NBA basketball. You know, I personally think there's an overlay with Cleveland still at 30-1. You know, we went from 18 to 40 down to 30. I still think that LeBron's going to end up staying in Cleveland. And I think there's some value there. Josh is looking at my sheet right there. What else we got, Josh? Let's just bounce around. Kendall Stevens, we talked a little bit about that. Congratulations to him. He signed with the Magic, right? Is that right? Their D-League?
For the Summer League, at least. So that's good to get a shot there.
He, you know, 6'7", very, very long, silky smooth stroke. You know, I think that he hurt his hand at the end of last year, had thumb surgery at the end of last year, and he came back. You know, obviously went through that. But I think he's got NBA he's shooting ability, no doubt about it.
You can shoot your way into the league.
Oh, and he can shoot.
Yeah.
He's
a Stevens, so yeah. The sky's the limit.
That's right. Josh?
Like you said, especially, Ken, the way the league's trending, where there's a real value in what they call the 3-and-D type of guys, where that's your singular compliment to the team. You come in, you can hit some perimeter shots, and defend on the other end. Like Bruce Bowen pretty much popularized the modern-day version of that. He stayed around the league forever, just that.
Yep.
Play a little defense, hit an open three when they kick it to you, but now it's even become more popular. Analytics have taken over the game so much. Where it's where they decided that's the high-value thing to do is shoot a bunch of threes. I'm still not sure, because the Rockets are the ones who popularized that, though. And how did that work out for them? Where all their stats and everything says, just shoot a bunch of threes, and that's the way to win. And they missed 27 straight in an elimination game.
Yep.
It's because, but you realize your guys still have brains and nerves. Your guys choked with an NBA Finals trip on the line. You really want that over a layup every single time? I mean, it backfired.
I absolutely agree, and there was a couple though in that streak where they went 0-for-27, where they could have just laid it up and they kick it out for the three.
Yes,
I go, man.
Right. Some of those drives kind of agonize you. Yeah. Paul or whoever else gets in the lane, although he wasn't playing in that game. But you're right, guys will get within 5 feet and have an open look, and they still kick it out for that three. And clearly, when you're not hitting, you might want to take a higher percentage. That's how they got back in the game, is they finally did late in the fourth start finishing at the rim. But to me, it's crazy. It's like a high percentage shot. It's something that's hard to find. I think you should just take what presents itself. When they insisted on those threes, and what's crazy is, if they make five of those, I mean, it was still a competitive game at that point. They didn't get blown out. If they just had a little more production.
You know what drives me crazy? During these games, I'll text Ken and be like, why don't you just have a three-point contest? Just eliminate it. This is if you want to play basketball like this, just do it like that.
Yeah.
But what's weird is James Harden's such a great penetrator, driver of the basketball, that I don't know why he doesn't do it more often and get to the line. He can do that at will.
Yeah. Curry, too, for that
Curry
matter.
Curry, too, but he can still make his shot. So, I never worry. With Harden, I worry a little bit. He gets in those slumps. Steph, I don't really worry about. If he misses three or four, that means three or four are coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
But even with Chris Paul, that injury, I wish we could have had a healthy Chris Paul for that game 7.
Absolutely.
Just to see. I'm such a fan of that guy. And
I do, too. He was killing them the whole series.
But
some of those things, not only all the games, the shot clock winding down, that 40-foot three in Curry's face.
Oh.
He was doing that all series. Yeah. Like, I loved it. The shimmy, I thought that was great.
Yep.
But he was killing them. I agree. He would have made a difference. But that thing toward the end, I said, it was just agonizing to watch. You're right. They would kick it out. And Harden was one thing. He was slumping. They were kicking it out to guys who couldn't hit any. P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza. And I'm sitting there, and you're Mike D'Antoni. Like, really? This is what you want. You want these journeyman guys who are already 0-for-9, and you want them heaving up another one?
Yeah.
And, that was their downfall.
Absolutely. So I'm with you, John. I mean, I think they probably win game 7 if he's healthy.
Man, it's hard to take that lead just because the Warriors are who they are. But I would just have loved to have seen it. I would have loved to have seen Chris Paul. Just for him to finally move on to a game 7 and in that situation to go to the finals from everything he had to endure in his career. It just was awful.
I would have loved to have seen it, too, at least see what happens. But, Ken, here's the thing, to keep in mind. One, Golden State had already won at Houston being full strength, game 1. So they proved they could already do that. But the flip side is, I think if Houston takes a 17-point lead with Paul in the lineup, as they did in game 7, I'm not sure they give it up if Chris Paul's in there.
Absolutely. John, I see you're wearing a Nevada Wolfpack football or jersey right now.
Well, it's just a T-shirt.
Brandon McCoy, did we okay with what happened? I mean, I feel good and bad. I mean,
I don't take much joy in. Brandon McCoy, 5-star center from UNLV, didn't get drafted.
Said he's one and done, going to enter the draft.
Yeah.
And didn't get drafted.
And to be fair, he had his moments. He was he was the freshman of the year in the conference, and he had a couple really great games. He was taken to school a couple times by the Junkyard Dog there, and he got in some foul trouble, and I don't, I don't, I don't know. UNLV basketball and me have a mixed past from the Tarkanian days,
sure,
the national championship stuff. I actually have a spot in my heart for UNLV basketball.
But listen.
Yeah, they can die like a dog.
I feel bad about McCoy, you know, and what happened. I wish he would have stayed now. But with that being said, I'm glad it happened to Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
I am absolutely
and
ecstatic.
Marvin Menzies in particular.
Yes.
But,
for what we're talking about, listeners, Brandon McCoy, the 7-foot center for Vegas, that, you know, blue chipper, you know, all American, freshman came in, one and done guy, basically their Jaylen Brown. He comes in, enters the draft, and goes undrafted.
But I just don't take the part that takes the joy out of me is this kid's future, you know, and if maybe
I don't wish it against him. I feel bad for him.
Just for the program, I understand. But I just wanted to make that distinction. That
no,
it's not.
I hope he tears up the NBA.
But everything. Yeah.
I hope he tears up the NBA.
Yeah,
I have no problem now.
I mean, but if you look at the recent, you know, Anthony Bennett went number one overall at UNLV a few years ago, and he's not even playing basketball anymore. I don't believe.
No. So take that, Joe Robinson.
No, that was crazy, by the way. Speaking of how the Cavs could be now, back in the day when they were getting the number one pick, that was crazy because that was one of the weakest drafts in recent memory. But remember who went number two? Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Imagine if the Cavs would rather have him now. Talk about you in the NBA with the top five pick being so rare to come by, you cannot whiff like that.
That's one thing. Since we're kind of wrapping up this NBA season right now, the step that Oladipo took this year when he looked like he was just lost in Orlando and Oklahoma City, and he found a home in Indiana, and he was a star. He was an MVP candidate that first half of the year. That was good to see. I was always a fan of his in college. So you can't give up on these guys too early,
yeah,
especially a guy with that kind of athleticism and game that Oladipo has. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, I thought he'd be a decent pro, but you're right, it just took a little while for him to come
star,
along.
And he's getting
and like I said, yeah, of what was otherwise a weak draft, he was clearly, you know, the best of that bunch. And the Cavs probably – it was weird, too, because remember,
yeah,
you know, everyone was surprised by Bennett. They didn't know he was even in the mix. They thought he'd be lower down. But Oladipo was a candidate to be the top pick at the time. I bet you Cleveland wishes
that.
I want to say 13.
That's Nerlens Noel.
But Ken, what do you think? You mentioned, you
know,
to me, UNLV too. It's too bad because not only is he a real talented guy, I don't mind, you know, seeing them compete or whatnot. But it makes you wonder. So now they can't have him back, and they underachieved as it was. That team had a ton of talent. They won like 19 games, whatever it was, under 500 in the conference.
Put it to us here.
Yeah, didn't make any sort of, you know, postseason tournament. And I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, they need all the help they can get because I think Menzies might not necessarily be the right guy because that team was talent rich. You saw when they did beat, when they won at Nevada, what they could do when they were, you know, really, really gelling.
Shots.
Yeah, and hitting shots, which doesn't hurt. But that was it. I mean, that.
You know who the right guy is?
Who?
Eric Musselman.
Maybe. But I was going
to
say, after they won.
To put that in the atmosphere.
John, but I was
but
that was their season, though. They peaked. After they won at Nevada, they fell apart.
Yes, they
I don't think they hardly won another conference. I mean, they needed overtime to beat Air Force in the conference tournament.
And
they were awful.
If I'm going to keep it real, I would love for the Rebels to be as good as we are at this point.
I was just going to ask that question.
It would make it so much sweeter.
If we didn't win the Mountain West Conference tournament, who would you want it to win?
Who would I want to win the Mountain West?
If it wasn't us. Because,
God,
listen,
I
don't like Boise. I despise
San Diego State.
I despise New Mexico. I despise Fresno.
So I guess it's San Jose State.
I thought about that. It is San Jose State.
Clearly Air Force because they're defending our country.
Okay.
It ain't Utah State, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not Colorado State.
Anything that ends in state.
Yeah.
You can,
so eliminate all those. Except Air Force State.
Yeah, it ain't the Rebels. If that's what you're getting at, so
well,
it's the
I mean,
Air
it kind of is. Okay, take Air Force out of the equation.
It's Air Force. Then it's the San Jose State.
Okay, take San Jose State out of the equation.
Oh,
it's the Rebels. It is.
It ain't
it
the
is.
Rebels. It's
no.
Never the Rebels.
So you do hate them.
So I thought they might make a run this year, except
their
issue was they had to play Nevada in the second round. They did put up a decent fight at
Scared
the time.
The
they ended up
living
losing.
Daylights
yeah,
out
but
of me.
I was wishing they were on the other side of the bracket. I wanted to see UNLV make a run.
Yeah,
I don't know.
If they were done.
If it were UNLV versus Fresno State, I would root for UNLV.
UNLV versus
maybe
Fresno
San Diego State, but I would root for Boise State over the rest of those. Well, that was hard to say. I don't know if that's true.
Listen, you're going out drinking with a Boise fan, so
that's true.
I think
true.
She's probably listening. So you're sucking up.
That's
don't
true.
Don't.
I don't know.
Borders, we hate Boise.
That's
Nora,
true.
We hate Boise.
But that's there's a healthy level of respect, at least with the football,
I know.
Football program.
Listen, I
don't like their basketball program at all.
To the respect, you know, respectfully listen.
Wyoming, there's the answer.
It's
Wyoming Cowboys. There's your answer.
That's fair. They're a fun team to watch.
They are. I like their floor. I like their uniforms.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, their coach is a Kentucky guy, Alan Edwards, yes. A star under Rick Pitino.
Right. Right,
we have
on.
Our answer.
All right. Let's move on. What is going on with Jameis Winston? We got about 2 minutes to kill here.
I just hope he misses a
before.
Steal,
now we got about four. We got 3 minutes before we have to go off to traffic. You know, and John, I was listening to that. The first three, everybody knows Jameis Winston, the NFL handed down a suspension. He's going to get 3 games. Their first 3 games, they're no joke.
No.
It's filled. They open at New Orleans. Yep. Then they've got Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. They may not win those games with him.
That's right.
So they might be better served just to allow him to serve his suspension, and let's just try and get on track after this. But John,
it bothers me. I'm a guy. I follow Florida State football. I always have. I wouldn't call myself a North fan, but I follow that program. I think it's a great program, and I always follow Jameis. I think he's a great player. But he's just an idiot.
A knucklehead.
He's just, and he might be a scumbag from everything that he's been accused of and everything, who knows. But
didn't he steal crab legs?
But that's the least of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
That's where you want to get out. Yeah, I stole some crab legs from the, what's that, down there, the Publix.
Right.
But, yeah, man, you need your quarterback. And trust me, as a Steeler fan, from accusations that my quarterback had to go through, whether whatever happened, that's something you don't want out of your leader.
No.
You just flat out don't want it. And that's why, with the Cam Newton comparisons and everything, Cam, he can be a crybaby on the field, but he doesn't really have a lot of that type of stuff. He had the scandal at Florida and everything, but, man.
Yeah, where they probably, where the schools bid for his services, which is no surprise.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, whoever else.
Yeah, but he was signed, sealed, and delivered to Mississippi State, but that's more on his dad, I think. But yeah, it's we keep talking up these Buccaneers every year, and if your quarterback's gonna be doing stuff, I don't know.
They're a tough division this year too. It's
the Saints every year.
That Saints team, Carolina, you can't afford Falcons. Yeah, exactly. I mean, jeez. Maybe the toughest division in football, Josh.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Ken, with the difficult games to start off, I heard that's why already they're talking about not appealing, because look at what even happened. It's not as severe, like with Brady, the deflate gate, it's not as severe as what Jameis is accused of. But the way they fought it so much and then finally end up serving it, they said, maybe it's just better to serve it from the start and not prolong this and maybe have him serve it, some other time. But yeah, especially seeing as they kept Dirk Cutter just because he's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer to work with Jameis, this sets him back even further.
Yeah, we have about 20 seconds before we have to go off the traffic. But Fitzpatrick's the backup. I mean, he's for a 3-game stretch, he's going to be
backup.
Okay. He's going to be okay. Play defense, run the ball, don't throw the ball to the other team.
He falls ass backward, does more to starting jobs than any backup quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's just crazy. You just kind of got to. Did Borders hear slam in Boise?
I don't know. She just texted me.
Oh, she just sent you a novel. Hopefully it says so. All right, we have to head off to commercial break here a little bit early, so traffic is at the top of the hour. So we will be back very shortly after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Make sure you like the show at Kimmy B ESPN Sports Handicapping.
Oh,
who just got robbed,
John?
What
a great catch. Oh. I didn't see who hit it, but it's a great catch. It turned into a sack fly, but
Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping.
Giancarlo.
Let's talk a little bit about baseball, John and Josh. Every time this year, there's a team on the outside. There's value in a future wager, And I'm looking at things have kind of leveled out a little bit right now. John, you like Colorado earlier in the year. Colorado was right there. They're 37-38 right now. They're 50-1 to win the World Series. We're going to talk about World Series odds. I know that there's division.
Better
odds.
Get that most expensive pen and baseball in order, because it's awful right now.
Absolutely.
They do that, they're fine.
So in the National League, where's the value at, John? I mean, you Arizona in the National League West, they're 41-33, 8 games over .500. They're 22-1.
And heavy rumblings, they're going hard after Manny Machado.
Wow.
So if that happens, that puts them, I think the Dodgers are still the favorite there.
8.5.
That puts them right in contention. I still think that they're going to be in it to the end, but if you add Manny Machado to what they got going on, Goldschmidt has suddenly caught fire again like we knew he would. So it's, that's really live right there.
I'm looking at the leader in the National League West. We're 74 games into the season,
yeah.
74 games into the season, and you can get the leader of the National League West. They're 2.5 games ahead of the Dodgers at 22-1. And like you said, John, if they're going to make moves late in the year, if they're in this
thing. Yes, they are. As will the Dodgers, as will the Giants, as will the Rockies.
The Dodgers at 8.5-1 in the National League West, and I look at that team, and it just there's just something about the Dodgers that just I can't believe in them. I can't buy into them, and it's not because I'm a Dodger hater. I'm not a Dodger hater. I really don't.
You should be. It's a good life.
I really don't care one way or the other about the Dodgers. They're neutral. I like to bet on them sometimes. I like to bet against them sometimes.
This is disgusting. But speak.
8.5-1. No value there for me, Josh. That's 100% pass.
Yeah, and I agree. Even though, of course, they were World Series participant last year and have the talent to get there again, they've underachieved this year. But you would think that that's an awfully tempting, almost 9-1 on a team that could go back to back. But you're right, Ken. There seems to be just something missing from this team when it comes right down to it. With everything on the line, they seem to not come through. And what you mentioned about the Diamondbacks is, that's a tempting price, but, geez, they've been erratic. They came out winning every game the first couple of weeks. At one point, didn't they lose, almost 15 in a row?
Yeah,
they had a stretch where they were,
ridiculous.
Like, 2-14.
Right as the Dodgers got hot.
Right. And so you can't count on them either, but who knows? Maybe if they could achieve some consistency, I'd take a look.
Matt Kemp was an absolute throw-in in that trade that they made with the Braves.
He can't keep it up all year.
And he's found the fountain of youth, and he cut a bunch of weight, and he's I can't stand the dude, but he's carrying him right now. And, their best player, no matter Corey Seager is their best player, regardless. When you have a shortstop with his ability defensively and offensively, him being out for the year, I thought was going to sink him. But, guys like Kike Hernandez step up for him, and it's they're still such a scary team. Since Justin Turner's been back, they've dialed it up. They're hitting a lot of home runs. Kershaw's coming back pretty quick, and that staff, that rotation is still top-notch.
I was going to say, and that's the thing so far this year, is that has let him down. We had a guy like Alex Wood last year was practically unhittable. He struggled this year. Kenta Maeda has been injured, and
Walker Buehler was doing great, then he got hurt.
Right. So they had a bunch of guys though last year, Rich Hill, out of nowhere. Their entire staff looked like Cy Young candidates. And this year they've been a combination of injured and not as consistent.
That's why if the Dodgers aren't the lead dog and they just sneak into the playoffs and grind it out, that's a more scary team to me than if they have this, they win the division by 8 games or something. And
I tell you the team that scares me the most, Sean, and I've always, it's the Giants. They're 38-38. They got they're past the bum ish the injury. He pitched well last time out. He was the old bum. They play tonight. And I look at this right now. They have Stratton going against Richards tonight, and the Giants are -115, 7.5 over, -120. I would only play the Giants here.
They struggle a little bit with Clayton Richard, but Chris Stratton at home has been absolutely outstanding all year.
18-1, John? 18-1. And you guys have bum coming back.
Bum Cueto has his first rehab start tomorrow. Samardzija had one yesterday. So if those horses align and – yeah, there's value there. The problem is, stringing these hits together is what they still depend on. They're not a big long ball hitting team, and there's just no consistency to play with Longoria out. It's been nice to have Sandoval and Hanson step in and do what they do. You need more out of Panic. Crawford's having his best season. I love
Belt's
him. I
hurt.
Love Brandon Crawford with all my heart, as you know. Belt just came back. He was only out for a little bit. He's having a career year too. So I said before the season, if the Brandons have a career year, they have a shot. But you need more out of Buster. McCutcheon's had an upswing in his power numbers. So Corky Hernandez is having a great year. You need something out of left field. Hunter Pence is toast. Mac Williamson was doing great before he had his concussion. He hasn't been the same since. There's Austin Slater on the farm. You can call up Steven Duggar. So there's options there. I think they'll make a move. But I think they're treading water. I think this is an 83-win team.
Kutch is right there, John. I mean, he's got to eventually start displaying MVP numbers like he's had in the past. And if he does that, look out.
Yeah, that's true. He can carry teams. But you don't need Hunter Strickland breaking his hand.
Yeah,
because he's a red ass and he can't just because you get somebody out and they're celebrating on you for, I don't know. I don't see eye to that guy too much.
Let's go over the National League East a little bit. Atlanta right there at top.
Bravos are right there, man.
Three game lead over Washington.
What a fun team to watch, Braves are.
I love them, but I need a little bit more than 12-1 for Atlanta to win the World Series. So no value there. Washington in second place. They're at 8-1, 3 games back. That's probably the most logical selection in the East.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. With Atlanta, I think you're right. They're probably at least a year, maybe more away. But, of course, they're one of the on the upswing. They're worth looking at, but Washington, to me, falls into the same category as you just mentioned with the Dodgers. They're, to me, they'll always be tempting because they're loaded with talent. I mean, they're of course, the frontline rotation is, you know, World Series winning caliber, but they never come through. So at one point, of course, you know, all streaks are capable of being broken, but they've given us enough evidence to say that's not a team you trust.
The Braves have 11 of the top 100 prospects in all of baseball, so they can go make a deal if they have to. I think they need another pitcher. You might,
or they can hold
on somebody at third base.
Or they can hold on this year.
Or you can hold on and you know.
They're a year ahead of schedule right now.
They absolutely are. That's not a franchise that doesn't go for it. They go for it when they have the chance.
As you should in baseball, because you never know, John.
You never know.
Let's talk about Washington a few years ago when they put.
They better do it right now.
They should have not the year they put Strasburg on a pitch count, because they've never rebounded from that.
2012, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody thought, oh, we'll be back next year. Like, they're just taking it for granted. But yeah, no, they shut Stras down, and it cost them.
You got to go. How about you limit his innings in June, July, and August?
Yeah.
You numbskulls.
Yeah.
They had the Division I. I'm glad they did. The Giants completely benefited. They won the World Series.
Yeah.
But it's – the Braves are coming. Don't worry about – don't sleep on the Phillies. You remember, I was all over them last year, and they were a year late for me. So.
Look at that, 33-39, John. 6 games over 500. You can still get them at 25-1. And Phillies playing well right now. That's probably my third odds on, you know, long shot odds. I like Arizona at 22-1. I'd probably take – San Francisco at 18, and then Philly at 25.
What are the Cubs? Because I think the Cubs are coming
8.
Out.
There's no value there.
There kind of is.
No, I don't.
That's
like
a good
the
team.
8. Yeah, I know. I just don't like the 8. Josh, you want to weigh in on the Cubs?
What are the Brewers?
Milwaukee
about 20?
Is
25?
10-1.
10-1 Milwaukee?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
they're
no value there.
Yeah, they're leading the Central at night now by 1.
Yeah. And I would say the Cubs similarly, because similar to last year, they overcame the Brewers. They'll probably do it again. They go through huge, you know, streaks as well as inconsistency. But what I like so far is they're starting to get, you know, guys like Quintana, who they picked up, who's pitching tonight, actually. They're starting to get some more consistent contributors. Their lineup's been beat up a little, too. It's just weird because, you know, a few years ago they won that World Series. It almost looked like, okay, that's a borderline baseball super team, right? Wow, look at what they got going on. They haven't been the same since, which is kind of odd, and yet there are still times when they pull it together and they'll go on that kind of run where they'll go 10-1 or whatever. And you think, geez, if they could just somehow, you know, find that groove again, that team could be dangerous. What do you think about 8-1? I think, obviously, I think they'll end up in the playoffs. So, to me, there's an overlay there now. I mean, that's not probably about the best price you can find on them. I mean, from this point in the season on.
I would say so, too. I really believe the Cubs are coming out of the National League this year.
In the American League, you know, just looking for value right now. Houston, the best record, 50 wins right there. Ooh. You know, tied with the Yankees, 55. But they're 55.
More fun team to watch than the Astros.
Absolutely not. I tell you what, it's a gold mine when the Astros get behind, betting them an in-game. And just bet it.
We've seen it here all the time.
Josh, like, they may lose
that Royals game last Friday.
That one was crazy.
They may lose the game, Josh, but they're going to be it's almost like the game is going to be tied if it's two or less.
It was funny, Ken, that whole weekend series against the Royals was crazy because they all went the same way. The Royals went up like between 2-4-0 every game, and it lost them all like 9-4. It like just didn't even matter. Like, oh, look at that. Royals up 4-0 in the fifth inning. Suddenly you see the final score.
The one team I am, you know, don't sleep on right now is Seattle. You know, 46-29.
Look, they're going to win 95 games and finish 10 games out.
Yeah, there's three games that have 50 wins. You know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros. And then you have Seattle with 46 wins, which, I mean, if you look at that, that's more wins than any team in the National League.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that they're playing against, you know, in the same. But what I'm saying right here is 18-1. You know, in the American League, we'll go over these real quick, but that's the only value that I really see in the American League.
While we're touching on this division, Mike Trout is putting up the greatest statistical season that we've ever seen. He's on pace for almost a 15 WAR season, wins above replacement, which would
equal Babe Ruth.
It would top Babe Ruth's 1923 season, I believe it was. It's just incredible that he's not a household name, and it's baseball's got a real problem when you can't market a dude like that who does everything right, and he's a once in a generation guy. He's the best player I've seen since Barry. And my dad said he's the only guy he's ever seen. He reminds him of Willie Mays. I mean, he's an incredible player, and he needs to be celebrated more. And it drives me insane.
He turned the other day on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and pulled it and almost killed the left fielder.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else was even sniffing this guy. I can't remember who it was.
This dude's playing center field.
He turned on it. Yeah, exactly, John. With that being said, I was just like, oh, my God. I mean, he's up there getting his hacks. I mean, and with that being said, 15 WAR, that's absolutely amazing. You know, they're 28-1 right now. And
a 6 WAR season, you're a superstar. 6.
Yeah.
15 he's getting this dude is about to do.
Josh, you see any value here?
And that's what's crazy about baseball, Ken, is these guys, you know, is insanely talented as Mike Trout is. It's just weird about how baseball, you know, in the public eye at least, is faded. My point is Mike Trout could probably walk in here in street clothes. Would he get recognized? Yeah. If he walked in here right now, walked all around the casino, maybe. You know, hardcore.
LeBron James couldn't step out of a
baseball
car.
Baseball fan in the sports book might recognize him, but you never know. But, yeah, Ken, I agree with you on Seattle. The main thing is they're on the upswing, but their starting pitching is totally overachieved or has been better than expected. But you got Paxton. Who's crazy. He's turning into
King
a dummy.
Felix has it. He's not doing very good.
Right, and it's kind of funny, though. He's fading, but Paxton, he has a no-hitter. He's suddenly turning into the dominant guy. Which is weird, where Felix Hernandez is just sort of, at this point in his career, kind of a journeyman. But it's been the other guys. Mike Leake has been incredible. And the young lefty, Marco Gonzalez, up until the other day.
He's fun to watch.
He lost against the Yankees a couple days ago. Before that, he had won like seven straight decisions, Ken, with like giving up two or fewer runs every game. So suddenly they got this dominant playoff-ready pitching staff.
They'll make a move.
Absolutely. So we're looking for value in futures. You know, let's fire through. We've got to go to break here in about less than a minute. You know, Yankees at 4-1, Boston at 6.5-1, no value there. In the Central, Cleveland, you know, you maybe get Cleveland. They're 7 games above .500, you know, 10-1 right there. That team's always dangerous.
There's value there just with what they bring to the table. I think there's value with the Yankees there.
At 4-1 to win the World Series?
I thought you said 7-1.
No, 4-1.
No, okay, 4-1, no.
So that's a pass. Josh, either one of those real quick.
We're watching Tampa Bay beat New York right now. They're leading 2-0. I would say if they win, I would say it's
like
about time. Because it feels like I've been following the Yankees. I thought the prices were out of hand, like -$2 every game. Yeah. They haven't lost in like a month. I mean, seriously, it seems like every time you look up, I mean, they Josh, swept Seattle, who's really good, who we just talked about.
50-22.
I know.
50-22.
And every
and
time I watch them, to me it's crazy about some teams that sort of find maddening. We're like, I watch them on a game-to-game basis. Like, the Yankees aren't that good. How are they doing this? I mean, of course, they've got good players, but they don't strike you as this dominant team.
They mash.
Yeah, they're back.
All right. That's it after our last commercial break. This is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back. We're back here at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Make sure you follow Josh Nagel from Sportsline at sportsline.com. All of his articles are up there, and he archives stuff. And, you know, Josh, you do a good job, but, you know, covering a lot of sports. I guess basically whatever you're assigned.
No, you're right, Ken, but we try to make sure we hit on everything. So as you allude to, so even the sports, you know, for instance, I'm not much of a soccer guy in general, but we said a few weeks ago, of course, we're going to go all out on the World Cup like every other media outlet. So I, you know, jumped into it. Explored, you know, a bunch of teams and previews and all these games, and now, of course, I'm much more informed than I would be otherwise because I'll be thorough when it comes to this stuff, and as you mentioned, it's just my job description to do it.
All right. Our resident UFC expert, you know, I heard from him today. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name again this week, Jonathan James. I'm just going to call him Jonathan James, UFC Fight
Adamitz.
Night. Yeah. What is it?
Isn't it Adamitz?
Something like that. UFC Fight Night 132. You know, the guy's been pretty sharp, Josh. He gave us 6 bets last week. We parlayed him, went 5-1, and we, you know, obviously lost one. He didn't, you know, made a little bit of money on the heads-up battles. You know, there's 4 fights that he likes this week. And these fights actually, I think these fights go off a little bit early. So don't wait until, like, it's not like a normal night because these are in Singapore. So with that being said, you know, Tyson Pedro, he fights on this UFC Fight Night 132. You know, he likes him a little bit at short price right there at -130. I don't even approach to announce this next guy's name. His last name is Li. Jiliang Lai. Is that how would you say that, John?
Close enough.
Jiliang Lai.
It's literally my favorite part of the show watching you pronounce
it. It's
that.
Rotation number 2008. And he's a 340 favorite. Okay, what's this next one?
No.
Which name
you
are you looking
for? You've
got to
try it first.
Okay. Peter Yan.
Peter Yan.
It's P-E-T-R. There's no E there.
Yeah.
Unless it's a typo. How do you spell? How do you pronounce
P-E-T-R? Still, even
Peter.
Without the second E, it's still Peter.
Still Peter.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Peter.
It's Peter.
Pitar. Yeah. Pitar. It's Peter Yan -475. I know, John. This is good stuff right here. And who did I miss out here?
Hopefully Bob
Tyson
Smith.
Pedro. Peter Yan, and I got this one easy. And at -$5, we got Jake Matthews.
There you go. That's up your alley.
I nailed that. Nailed it. Rocked it, Josh.
Jacques Matthews.
Jacques Matthews. With that being said, Josh, you know, UFC Fight Night 132, these fights go off early, so if you're going to make any of these wagers, make sure you do it before. And you can bet all these prelims here at the Club Countyeva. I know some of the outs don't let you do it, but here at the Club Countyeva, William Hill, Nick Bogdanovich does a great job of allowing you to bet a lot of different things that other places don't offer. You can bet these prelims.
Yeah, and like you said, Ken, our contributor, he's mostly interested in the prelim fights, which goes to show you he's a much more, you know, sophisticated, you know, UFC connoisseur than myself, because most of these people I haven't heard of. I know most of the main event fighters. I know enough UFC to know who the upper echelon, you know, combatants are. But everyone, pretty much every fight he gave you, I don't know, except for the Tyson Pedro Ovince St. Preux, which I would agree with. But Ken, we mentioned, you know, that main event is Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who he's going downhill. This price has already gotten kind of out of hand because Leon Edwards is an up-and-comer, deservedly favored. But you know what I'm starting to like, Ken, is the over-under. I'm starting to like the under there. You see 2.5 rounds. The under looks like it's even money over 2.5 or over at minus 120. I don't see this lasting long because I actually think Cerrone's probably going to lose and probably by knockout. And if he happens to win, he's got the power to stop somebody. I don't think it goes three full. So I'm thinking under in the main event.
Cerrone, he engages a little bit too, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Two and a half.
He's not afraid to get
even
going.
Money.
And that's... he was already sort of on the downhill. I mean, he actually won his last fight where they set him up, you know, against the Hawaiian guy. But before that, he had lost a bunch. He got knocked out fast by the up-and-coming UK guy, Darren Till. And he took a pretty good beating there. I just think, you know, I mean, he's fading. He's fought a zillion times. And he's in bad shape for this one. But that's why I think it goes under.
I can't disagree with that, Josh. I'm looking at this right now. You know, Leon Edwards is, you know, he's up to 210 right now. 2.5 under is about even money. Over is minus 120. I think if I had to move on this fight, I might be. Maybe I'll make this a six-teamer and throw in Leon and under. You know, maybe get the price that I want. You know, instead of the 2.5 to 1, you know, maybe try and jack this up to 4.5 to 1. And then obviously that would be a key fight. Betting side and total.
Yeah,
there.
And you're right. Just that one little, you know, plus money on that total will help out your parlay odds.
Do you like any more of these Singapore fights, Josh?
I said, you know, by and large, it's a card stacked with people I'm not familiar with. You see a lot of. You know, as they do everywhere else, it's stacked with local competitors. Of course, that brings out the fans. So most of the, you know, people who are from that area, I've never heard of. And like I said, until it gets to the main event, which, yeah, I've heard of all these fighters. But the main one I'm looking at, Ken, is that headliner. Like I said, I'd probably just bet the under there, see what happens.
All right. What else is going on, John? Let's handicap these two late baseball games real quick.
All right.
Sorry, I got you guys here. We got the Giants-Padres. Giants at home. Stratton versus Richards. Giants minus 115, 7.5. The over's minus 120. So a little bit – Giants a slight favorite in this game. It looks like the over is a minus 120, so a little favorite money coming in right there, or over money coming in.
See, that's
John.
Interesting to me. They always struggle with Clayton Richard and most lefties for that matter. But Stratton Holmes has been absolutely deadly. I think it would be a similar game to last night. If I would do anything, I would bet that under.
But bet it under.
How do I know?
Take the under 7.5.
Yeah, I'd have a lead towards the Giants just because they've kind of hit their stride again, and Stratton Holmes has played so well, or pitched so well. But under is what I would definitely lean to.
Josh, you want to weigh in on that one at all?
Yeah, I think the Giants have a pretty good value. You know, that opened up around 135, so I think the price reduction gives you pretty good value. I find the Giants. You know, frustrating because I thought with all their offseason additions and everything, I thought they'd be better than they have been. But, you know, at San Diego a couple weeks ago, they kind of took a beating. They're sort of turning that around. I agree. The way Stratton's been at home lately, I just think 115 is a value price.
I do, too.
Absolutely. I like the Giants in this spot. Angels, Blue Jays, I can't see it. Is that Estrada versus – I can't read the bottom name. Is it Haney?
Andrew Haney, yep. Right, against Marco Estrada.
And what's
150 Haney.
Haney's minus 150. Looks like 8.5.
Eight and a half.
Under, does that say minus 120?
120, yeah.
So any thoughts on that game?
Which team does Mike Trout play for?
The Angels.
And then I'll bet on that one.
So you're betting Mike Trout?
I'm betting on Mike Trout.
Right.
I don't care about anything else.
You know, and the Blue Jays have been a disappointment because you look at the roster, they still look pretty decent, but that starting pitching has been the main thing. Haney's been hittable at times, but Marco Estrada so far has been a huge disappointment.
Yes,
that's too bad because he had a big year last year. He was coming on strong, so I was looking for, you know, spots to back him this year, and he's just – yeah, he has been vulnerable almost every start.
Angels make seemingly the right move all the time, and it always blows up on him. I don't know why.
You know, it's crazy. Looking at baseball right here, I almost bet the Red Sox in game, and now it's 10-8. And here they come. I mean, just
this is one of those wild – Fenway Park games.
Yeah.
You could have got plus $4 or maybe even more on the Red Sox right there. NFL football regular season totals are out too, guys. John, real quick, let's fire through these. I know that we're going to dedicate a show a little bit later.
Okay.
Steelers 10.5 over under. Under's minus 115.
Over by a half a game. Okay. 11-5.
All right, good deal. San Francisco 49ers. This is the one that we talked a little bit about that I actually thought was out of whack a little bit. It's 9. And yeah. I think it has a much more ability to go land on 9 and go under than it does land on 9 and go over.
Did you see the Garoppolo, Richard Sherman stuff?
I did not.
So Sherman in practice said, you have a tell when you're going to throw. When he taps the ball, when he's going to throw it all the time. So he starts reading it and started picking him off and picking him off and picking him off.
In practice?
Yeah. So he said, yeah, well, you have a tell. That's what. So we already knew it. We sniffed it out last year. And there it is. So it's pretty.
Correcting it now.
It's already paying dividends having a guy that smart and that good, Richard Sherman, on your team.
That's crazy.
So that being said, I think they win 10 games. I think the Rams win 13, but I think they win 10.
Josh?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, Ken, that's 9. It's a flat 9 number with the under shaded at minus 145, and I think it's shaded correctly where I just believe there's a little overreaction toward the end of last season.
Totally.
I expect the Niners to be more competitive than they've been, but that was just sort of flash in the pan. It was weird. Garoppolo comes in there. And
think the other teams, the Seahawks are garbage.
Yeah, he did pick them up, but I just have a hard time imagining. That's a pretty big transformation in the NFL, and, yeah, I would go under for now.
You know, the Raiders are sitting there at 8, overs minus 130.
Over.
100% Derek Carr dependent. If he comes out, this is a 10-win. If he comes back and he's healthy, guys, it's a 10-win season. Well, the team is.
I think the whole division is 9-7.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point, John. Good point. So I think that, you know, sitting there at 8, I think that's a steal, guys. I really do. I mean, you look at the Raiders, 8. I know it's shaded a little bit minus 130, but, you know, I think they're a 9-win team, guys. I really do.
Ken, I do too, but to me, the key factor there is John Gruden. I mean, look at all the jobs he turned down. He's the biggest, you know, celebrity coach. I mean, that's the hugest transaction they've made, in the franchise in forever. And they fired, you know, Jack Del Rio, who had done pretty well.
Yep.
You bring Gruden in for one reason only. That's because they feel like they should be winning now with this club. I guarantee you, Ken, if you bet that and it pushed, they're going to be pretty disappointed. Much money as they had to pay John Gruden, it wasn't to go 8-8.
That's right.
Absolutely. And they have a lot of superstar pieces in place right now, too. I mean, you have – if Carr's – it's dependent
on
him.
Jordy Nelson. Look at all the offseason stuff they've already done.
Jordy Nelson. So,
fantastic. Who else is on here real quick? We got about 45
Cowboys.
Seconds. Cowboys are 8, and I think that's – it's 8 over minus 140. I think the Cowboys eclipse that. I'd much rather – I think the Cowboys have –
I kind of do, too.
Huh?
I kind of do, too.
I mean, are they really going to go 7-9? I mean, I just don't see it. I know they're in the same division with the Eagles, and, you know, the Giants are going to be better, and the Redskins are there. They lost their quarterback. So, with all that being said, you know, I like that's one of the better value bets in my – I think it's more likely to go 8, 9, or 10 than 7 or 8.
Yeah, I agree.
So, with that being said – you know, and Nick has all these out, so make sure you guys come down to the Club Calneva or download your William Hill mobile app at www.wimhill.us, and you have an absolute mobile app right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Joe, make sure you download that. All right, we have to go. 5-4 seconds. See you next week on ESPN.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.